This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
Here we are at the end of another week. So, what have we accomplished? What will traders be watching most closely when trade restarts next week? We've got it covered for you all this afternoon.
Live from the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Today on the show, our special guest, Matt Wiegand of Futures One. Now here's your host, the man on an island, the one and only Chip Flory.
I'm heading for an island, I'll tell you that. Does your drummer have the yips here this afternoon?
Yeah, I don't know what he has, but he showed up late. We have to dock his pay.
Dock his pay. That's right. That's right.
Hey, I should note you have company on the island now.
I do.
If those who listen to DC Signal to Noise, our podcast, if you listen to it later on today, Annalisa Laca joins you on your island.
Oh,
on USMCA.
And yeah, just so that everybody knows what we're talking about. There, and you know what? There are even reports coming out now that the Democrats in the House are pushing USMCA and pushing it forward because, well, you know, they need to show that they can still get something done. I'm still not convinced that this is actually going to happen, guys. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if on top of the headlines that, let's see, what I want to get very specific with this headline. I'm pretty sure I can probably find it here in just a second. Yeah, USMCA talks pick up speed as Dems see ratification soon. Headline from next week, if I can polish up my crystal ball. Dems now blame reps for blocking USMCA vote. That's the kind of stuff that's going to happen with this.
So you think.
And so does Annalisa.
Yes, again, you have company on your island. She,
one of the brightest minds that we have at Farm Journal, by the way.
I'm not going to argue with you there.
Love it. So, how's the weather over your way, John?
Sounds like the world's coming to an end, at least here in the studio, what I can hear here in the studio.
Yeah, that is quite a storm system that is rolling through northern Indiana, southern Michigan right now. Some of the roughest weather is on the tail end of that storm front, and that gets all the way back into central and even west central Illinois. So covering a wide area with some tough weather over there right now. Those are some of those soaking rains that Mike Huffman from the meteorologist for Ag Day and U.S. Farm Report was talking about yesterday.
Yeah, good to see him down at Purdue yesterday.
Yeah, it was. That was a lot of fun. And guys, if you didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday afternoon, well, either of yesterday's AgriTalks from Purdue University.
Make sure yesterday afternoons in particular.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon I thought was talking about the markets and the factors that are impacting our price outlook. We even took one of the most detailed looks at the 2020 season that we've done yet.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll get more and more detailed as time goes on. But for a starter look at the 2020 growing season and what we might be seeing as far as acres go, that was a pretty good discussion with the guys from Purdue yesterday.
Yeah, so go to agritalk.com or pull up the AgriTalk app and give it a listen.
That's right. Okay, corn was a little bit lower today. I'll call the losses in soybeans moderate. Soybean meal and bean oil both worked to the downside. Wheat was mixed, kind of in a weird way. Live cattle, feeder cattle both higher. Lean hogs were mixed, but mostly lower in today's trade. All right, bud, what moved them around?
Well, let's get the specifics. December SRW wheat futures continue the recovery from Wednesday's swing low, with the contract testing resistance at 490 again today. Despite some pressure in the second half of this week, spring wheat futures have generated a much more positive attitude for futures. Soggy harvest conditions in the northern plains and Canadian prairies and the threat of a weekend snowstorm in Canada's wheat country has traders on edge for the final stretch of the spring wheat harvest. Mm-hmm. Finally, global wheat trade has increased the past 2 weeks. The U.S. has not been a major player in the business, but the step up in demand is still a positive sign for wheat prices. December hard red futures were 0.75 cents lower at 407.5. December soft red futures jumped 3 cents to close at 487.25. December spring wheat slipped 1.25 to 547.5. So I guess the party earlier this week is over there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for now. I think we might see that come back in favor after we get the quarterly grain stocks report out of the way on Monday. That might have encouraged some profit taking on that spreading. Comes back in vogue later next week, maybe at 11:01 next week. Who knows? on that. Hey, and just a quick comment on the step up in global wheat business. Even if the U.S. isn't getting a lot of the business, it's still good news. It's still price positive news for the wheat market and even the U.S. wheat market, okay? I'm not saying that it's enough to take this market higher, but it puts a floor underneath prices. So that alone should be a positive. And we're going to talk to Matt about what's going on with the winter wheat seeding here in just a little bit.
All right. Well, commodity fund managers maintained a short position in corn heading into the weekend and ahead of Monday's quarterly grain stocks report. Traders say that reflects confidence that September 1 corn stocks will be estimated near 2.4 billion bushels. The comfortable ending stocks of corn is also making traders numb to forecasts calling for a potential frost in the upper Midwest at midweek. Also removing buying interest from corn futures this week is the start of harvest in the Midwest and expectations of increased harvest season hedge selling. December corn futures a penny lower, 371.5. March corn fell a penny to close at 383.75. May corn closed at 391, down a penny and a quarter on the day.
Yeah, it's not a terrible chart formation in the corn market, but it needs to do some work early next week. And, of course, like you just said, the quarterly grain stocks report is going to determine just what the attitude is in the corn market very early next week.
USDA this morning announced the sale of 126,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the current marketing year. Bean sales to China announced through the daily reporting system this week now total 964,000 metric tons, and many market watchers expect that tally to grow still in the week ahead. That and another round of trade talks with China scheduled for October 10th and 11th generated enough support for bean prices to hold them about steady with last Friday's close. November bean futures were 5.5 cents lower at 883 even. January beans slipped 5.25 at 897.5. March beans closed at down a nickel at 910.
Yeah, you know, Novi beans closing about steady this week. I mean, this week, the last week in September, you got to call that a win.
Yeah.
Hey, typically, we'd be under pressure going into the quarterly grain stocks report. Typically, we'd be under pressure because of the early harvest pressure.
Yep. Yep, so good news there, even though it was down. The improved chart picture for live cattle futures and growing optimism around the new U.S.-Japan trade agreement helped prices push higher today. October cattle were 207.5 higher at 105.02.5. December cattle futures jumped 182.5 to close at 110.57.5. October feeders were up 122.5 at 144.32.5. Cash hogs were up another 80 cents on Thursday, helping front month futures to end the week with solid gains. October hogs were 105 higher at 65.27.5. December hogs dipped 52.5 to close at 69.85.
All right. Thank you so much, John. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, when we come back, we're going to find out about what is going on with the winter wheat seedings out in the Central Plains. We are going to find out what is happening with the early season corn soybean harvest. We're going to get ready for the quarterly grain stocks report. We got a lot to do yet this afternoon, guys. Matt Wiegen from Futures One is here. He's going to help us get there. RFD TV's Farm Her and Syngenta are embarking on the fourth season of sharing stories about women impacting agriculture. We are joined today by the founder and host of Farm Her, Margie Geyer-Alanese. Margie, fantastic. Season four, it's getting started. What inspired you to even start this to begin with?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I never imagined I'd be talking about a fourth season of a TV show, I can tell you that. So thank you for having me. You know, Farmer started when I was coming out of the end of a career in corporate agriculture and looking for what I was going to do next. And I really didn't know what that would be. But I saw a commercial during the Super Bowl in 2013, and that helped me to realize that maybe we weren't seeing enough of what women do in agriculture. So I started a photography project, and I called it Farm Her, and I started taking pictures of women right here near my home in Iowa, and that was really the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us a couple of examples of, I know they're all your favorite stories, but give us a couple of examples of what you'll be doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no different than when I started it as a photography project. I go to farms and I show people like a glimpse at the life of a woman who, you know, raises animals and grows food and cares for the land and is a part of feeding people in one way or another. So my whole goal is just to give people a sneak peek at how strong and smart and real and everyday these people are.
Very cool, Margie. Thank you so much. You can see Farm Her on RFD TV on Fridays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and you can learn more by visiting SyngentaThrive.com/FarmHer.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, give us a call. 855-482-5524. Today be a great day. We'll have a conversation with you. When I say we'll, I'm talking about me and Matt Wiegand from Futures One. He joins us right now. Matt, how you doing today?
Oh, not too bad.
Good. It's good to talk with you again. How's the weather over your way this afternoon?
Well, it stopped raining for now. It's been pretty wet on and off all morning.
Yeah, it's an on and off thing that you and I are dealing with here today. Nothing really organized at this point, though, is there?
No, I mean, it hasn't, you know, even just been a light, steady rain at times, and then other times backs off. But, you know, on top of their earlier week moisture, it's not allowing anybody to get anywhere fast in the field, at least around Lincoln.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, at Samuel B. Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, tweeted at us. He says, just this afternoon, some local totals of over 4 inches in central Illinois, I'll call it. That's on top of the 4 inches that they got last week. And then when you take a look at that forecast for the next week, just call it, Matt, boy, that's it. I'd hate to call it a repeat of 2018, but it certainly looks like this harvest season is going to start soggy.
Yes, it's not going to be a fast start, and if you don't have a reason to take wet corn, you're going to have and don't have the drying facilities, it could be real interesting real fast, especially if stock quality becomes an issue in a lot of areas that I know a lot of the central Nebraska guys I worked with have talked a lot about the stock, especially if there's any hail damage, that stock quality is not real great. And we've seen that in past years, that the wind's going to blow 50 miles an hour at some point in October, and it doesn't end well.
Right, right. Yeah, guys have got to be getting out there. And you know, it's the old agronomist message at this time of the year. Do not quit scouting. You got to get out there and prioritize your fields for harvest and make sure that you're getting after the most vulnerable fields first. Even if it does mean that you got to put a little extra gas on it to get it in the bin. But to this point, though, Matt, as I understand it, the crop really is standing pretty good over in your area, isn't it?
Yeah. There hasn't been a lot of issues yet, but, you have guys on guard, and, I've had a few guys switch to, especially if your local elevator is eating a point or two of moisture, go take some 20 moisture corn, get it out of the way. And, with beans, standing up pretty well and being a little bit slow, it's an opportunity to get some trouble spots potentially taken care of before they become trouble spots.
Have guys opened up some fields over there?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing, especially you get, up and down US 81.
Yep.
Southern tier Nebraska, that there's more corn opening up. You didn't open up on that area. Some of the dry land in southeast Nebraska, that there's a little bit of a window there in early April before it really started raining. And if a guy had gas on, he or used liquid, there is that some April planted corn out there that's more or less ready, and you're having some of that's coming out, as well as designed high moisture for feedlots and things like that. It seems like, it's behind where it usually is. A lot of those guys are usually going before step one in a lot of years, but, it was finally getting going before this week's rain, and it doesn't seem like the corn's retaining a ton of moisture, that there's a lot of stuff that's hand-shelling at 18 now, that if we got a few days in a row, I think you'd see people hit it pretty hard, between I-70 to I-80, in that eastern part, northeastern Kansas, southeastern Nebraska, at least on the April stuff. The things that got dragged out into late May and June may wait a while, and I think that's where we're going to see a lot more effects of the spring, just from talking to guys on scouting, that the things that were mudded in May are showing a lot more effects, when you have some April corn to compare it to, what the difference between those acres are, just looking at them, and then what they'll do across the scale, I guess, is still to be determined.
Right, right. On this April corn that has been harvested, was there any yield trends that you could identify? It's too early. I get that.
It's not. In general, I'd say, guys, it hasn't been terrible, but it's not up to the standards of the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a general rule that, things being off 5 to 10% over last year, last couple of years, which were good years. It's kind of been the rule, and then you adjust for moisture and whatnot. But it seems like, while there are some spots of the fields that really performed, that we left a lot of holes from standing water, and and things of that nature that, you know, really sap some nitrogen. And, you know, you figuring out how many holes the field has is going to be the challenge this year, and figuring out, you know, where we're actually going to be at, I think.
Yep. Matt, I think it's those holes. We talked about it this morning with Ken McCauley from White Cloud, Kansas, extreme northeast Kansas. But he's had, they've gotten out, they've done some harvesting, including going through some of those spots that are 30, 40 bushel or all the way down to zero that get factored into the big field. And I think those problem areas from the spring are so far what has kept us from hearing the old familiar, and you know, I think you probably know what I'm going to say, better than expected at this time of the year. I'm not hearing it yet, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, I've had, you know, a couple better than expected, but those are on, you know, the guys that veer towards the pessimist end of the spectrum that they're picking anything that's better than expected sometimes.
It's still standing and they can actually get it through the combine, so it's better than expected.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So as long as we're talking crop.
I just say, quick.
Yeah.
I've also been, there's been a few beans out on some of the shorter season through central Nebraska, and it's showing a lot of the, you know, the same 10% back from last year, too, that the shorter, you know, late planted and lack of daylight, I think, is showing up on some of those on irrigate, you know, stuff that's irrigated and was otherwise not abused.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to, I don't know, I guess if I don't get some growers that are impressed with the first harvested beans this year, that's going to leave me concerned for what we're going to run into later, because anything that's being harvested now was probably planted first. If we wait this much longer, there's a big gap in that planting date from what is being harvested now to what's going to be harvested next. And that shortened up growing season on the next round of harvest on beans, Matt, I've seen it before. Yields don't just fall off a table, but if your first yields are off 10%, your next yields might be off 25%.
Yeah.
So it is a concern. Has this done anything to the early harvest, very early harvest over there, is it having any impact on the cash market in your area yet, Matt?
I mean, basis is trickling wider on corn. Beans has stayed pretty much what it's been, and bean basis hasn't been great for a while with all the stuff going on, but bean basis is hanging in there, and a lot of times, you know, in this area of the world, you got to get that second week of October is usually when you really hit the cliff there. You know, corn basis has been steadily, you know, getting walked out, but it's, I mean, also still pretty good for this time of year. And, you know, I think it's, you know, the early, you know, once that early corn gets met, we'll see, and people deliver, you know, what they have committed, we'll see how far it drops off. That, you know, if stuff runs low and, you know, you get a little bit of a market rally, I think basis may hang in a little bit better, just, you know, for guys that need, you know, for end users that need to keep moving stuff across the scale, that it's, you know, really right now it's holding up pretty well, and we haven't thrown that early harvest run that we get most years into it.
I know that you watch what the end users are doing real closely over there. Are they covered up with their needs right now, or are they a little short-bought?
It feels like they're covered up now. I think we came into September pretty short-bought. There are some pretty hot pickup bids, you know, in there for the first couple of weeks of September. Yeah, you know, now guys, they got enough, and then, you know, enough's coming in that they're, you know, in at least a get me over period, you know, until we see full harvest. You know, if it stays, you know, really wet, and, you know, we lose a week to rain or something, you know, that could get pretty dicey, maybe, in some of the real big end users that, you know, really need to throw a lot of corn at it every day.
Right. Okay. So what I hear you saying there is, if you've still got corn that's ready to go to those end users, make sure that they know you've got it in case they do push basis and it gives you an opportunity sometime during early harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I like that. 10 seconds on this. Are you feeling any pull of the bean sales to China down in your area?
I don't think we're seeing it a whole lot yet. This area is really oriented to the crushers, and they haven't had to work on it much yet.
Gotcha. Okay, we're talking with Matt Wiegand from Futures One. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the cattle market. I want to talk a little bit about livestock in general. And then, of course, we got to get to what do we do with this 2019 corn and soybean crop? What do we do with 2020 corn and soybeans? We'll cover it next.
More choices, more money. That's the advantage of the new Bayer Plus Rewards. Choose from our broad portfolio of high-performance products. Earn more money on the eligible products that are right for your farm. And best of all, use our new portal to see your purchases, track your rewards, and decide how you want to use them. That's how we're putting more control in your hands. That's the plus. Sign in and earn big with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com to sign up today. See program terms and conditions for full details.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at the U.S. dollar today. We've repeatedly pointed out that the ongoing U.S.-China trade war and the Fed's late 2018 shift toward easier U.S. monetary policy seem bearish for the value of the dollar. The trade-weighted U.S. dollar index did dip last fall and again in June, but the greenback's long-term advance has continued. The reason for this is pretty simple. The U.S. economy keeps chugging along, and most other developed countries are maintaining monetary policies even easier than the Fed. Thus, the dollar index surged on Wednesday and on Thursday posted its highest close at 99.13 since May 2017. I still think the index is going to reach par at 100 before the end of the year.
Ooh.
Certainly can't rule out sustained gains going forward.
My goodness, that'll just make it that much tougher for us to make some of the sales that we need to make. Thank you, Dan. Have a good weekend. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, ProFarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. And we are talking with Matt Wiegand today. Real quick, let's take a look at how the markets closed today, if I can find them here. Here we go. December hard red futures were 0.75 cents lower at 407.5. SRW jumped 3 cents to close at 487.25. December corn futures, penny lower at 371.5. March corn fell a penny to close at 383.75. November bean futures, 5.5 cents lower at 883 even. January bean slipped 5.25 to 897.5. October cattle were 207.5 higher at 105.02.5. October feeders up 122.5 at 144.32.5. And October hogs were 105 higher at 65.27.5. Matt Wiegand, Futures One, is my guest. Matt, before we go on to cattle and livestock in general here, get us ready for the quarterly grain stocks report. Is there anything in there that we, I know it's impossible to predict a surprise or a shock or anything like that, but what are you watching most closely?
I think just seeing, you know, as long as we did a number that's not too far afield, I don't know if we'll get a huge reaction to it. Out of the four stocks reports, this one always seems to be the least exciting. I think the biggest thing may just be it's an as of September 1st number. It's a late year. There may be some surprises a little bit embedded in that just on some of the usage rates. And, you know, I know they always say they don't double count, but you have to, you know, leave that out there as a possibility. I think that's probably, you know, a little bit lessened this year that, you know, I think that would be the biggest thing to watch there. And then also, you know, I think on the wheat stocks number, you know, the spring wheat, you know, that was late harvest. So that may come in light. And then, you know, wheat fed, you know, worked into rations in a lot of spots this summer. You know, seeing if we put a dent in some of that residual stock, you know, that shows up on the wheat number on Monday, I think just going to draw some attention if we see anything there.
Did it work into rations enough out there that we can actually make a difference on that? I don't know,
yeah,
Matt.
I don't know. I mean, I think it did, and it may have in spots, and I think that's just one of those things that, you know, we've seen a different pricing structure for a while on this.
Yeah.
You know, since we've had the move this spring, this is our first shot to really check if it did on the stock number.
Good point.
The June 1 number.
Yep. That's a good point right there. This is our first chance to check on that. Yeah. Good. What kind of a number would be supportive for corn? I mean, we're expecting it at 2.4 billion something. What if it comes in at 2.2? Does that do anything to the market?
I mean, I think that'll give us a short-term jolt, and we move on that. But I think the real show is going to be the 2 weeks from yesterday when we get the next yield numbers and everything there. It did give us a jolt, but you know, we've stayed at the upper end of the range for a bit here. I don't know if there's necessarily a ton of energy to really push us, unless there's, especially as if harvest can ramp up at all, unless there's a real big swing. But you know, we come in 200 at a 2.2, and that far off, I think you at least did a pretty good jump right away. And if a guy had short term needs, I think that would give him a pretty good crack at it.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's step out to the October crop production supply and demand report. Crop production in particular. 168.2 is the national average yield estimate from USDA for corn right now. It was down from the August yield estimate. Did that start the trend and we continue lower into October? What's your thoughts?
I think we'll see it ease a little bit more here. I wouldn't expect huge cuts, but I did, see another, 5/10 to a full bushel come off corn. And maybe a little bit more on beans, depending on how ramped up we get on harvest and have checked yields there. I think if we do go down, I think that starts the trend, and then you'll probably see a lot more attention on the November. Well, I would say the November report, but the October, how harvest goes in October, we'll get a lot more attention from there to see if that accelerates or not.
Right. You know, I still feel like there is some downside from that 168.2. Obviously, I haven't changed my number. I'm still at that 163.3 that Pro Farmer posted following the crop tour third week of August. I don't feel any need to change there. And the primary reason that I'm saying that, Matt, is because I haven't seen any evidence to suggest otherwise. Until I see some evidence to move me from that 163.3, I'm going to stay right there. Same story on 46.1. Now, that's a long ways from the 47.9 that we got from USDA. I'd be surprised if they'd take that big of a bite out of the bean yield between now and that October crop production report, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would expect a gradual, but yeah, I think the direction of the trend will probably be the biggest thing on that front, and then just seeing what we buy into on harvested acres. I think that's going to still going to be up in the air, and some of these late planted acres that they're going to turn into something usable, but they're going to be local livestock feed and not something that can necessarily move out into the broader market.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I don't know if that's going to have much. I honestly don't know what impact that is going to have on the national average yield and the national supply. It's going to be real interesting. It'll have a big impact. Like you just said, Matt, it's going to have a big impact on local supplies. But I don't know what it's going to mean for the bigger picture out there. So real interesting. Okay, cattle trade. What are you thinking in here?
Yeah, we saw further improvement on the cash trade this week. I think we're probably getting, we came back, we've really kind of filled in some of the gaps we left, and market's pretty overbought here. I think we're probably due for some short term softening and some of the futures action, and I think next week we'll really probably see cash trade get drug out. I think the Packers are going to go and try and reestablish leverage, but we're getting to the time of the year where the numbers start to cross over a little bit here. There's still good margins, and looking forward, I think the cattle numbers and the placements coming forward because of the losses from the spring may become more apparent, and there may be incentive to buy now and start placing stuff before. We get fully deep into those runs too, and maybe get some unpleasant surprises there.
Okay, so you're talking about feeder cattle numbers maybe tightening up?
Yeah, I mean, just talking to clients that been weaning cattle here in September, that as a rule, everybody's off 5 to 6% from last year on same number of cows. That we had a rough winter, and a calf will find a way to get itself into trouble in a normal winter, let alone what we saw here, and we priced those numbers in the spring when we were sitting at 160.
Yeah.
And then we took it away, but that didn't create more calves. And I think seeing those numbers could tighten it up, especially if feeding's attractive and there's margins out there for guys to pursue. Plus, I think you see more besides the numbers being down, I think you see more heifers get held back that you're gonna, with the challenging winter, a lot of stuff probably didn't breed back, and we're gonna send more open cows to town, and that'll have some, we're turning the cattle cycle a little bit, and that's going to be a process.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't believe that $1.60 on the feeders didn't make more calves, man. I love that line. $1.60 didn't make more calves. That's good stuff. Okay, let's talk corn and soybeans. 2019 crop, what do we got to be doing with them right now?
I mean, I think short-term, if you have short-term needs, I think you're kind of looking at a push above $9 to get yourself covered, in the immediate term, or catch up if you need to on what needs to go at harvest. Same with corn, especially I'd like to see a little bit more out of it into that 385, 390 area. But for right now, if we push up ahead of the report and you still have a good basis that, any immediate needs, I think you want to look at covering there, or you're going into this time frame, you can buy fairly cheap December, close to the money puts for, 4 or 5 cents. That gives you some breathing room, and letting it move on there. I think as we build up here, I think there's probably, especially see yield cuts in October, and there's going to be better opportunities, into the second half of the month, probably into early November on both corn and beans, especially if we, have, lasting trade progress. But in the immediate term, we've kind of stalled out at the upper end of the range here. There's, ways to reward it with the still good, corn basis nearby, as well as, some of the affordable, short-term options on that front.
Okay. Are you looking at a call? Boy, I even hesitate to ask it. Are you thinking that we need a call on bushels that are getting sold off the combine, either corn or soybeans?
I don't know if you need one. I think if we, you know, if we got a good pullback on Monday's report, I think that would be a good time to go shopping for some. If you wanted something in place off the combine there, I think, you know, overall there'll be, you know, the market, you know, as we get into the post-harvest action, it you should be more predictable depending on South American weather that, yeah, I think there'll be opportunities for better stuff that will get you through that January report and things like that if you're inclined to be looking at something there. And you know, the more sideways markets pulled a lot of the premium off and you made things close to the money a lot more affordable than you would have saw at the height of the summer market.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that South American situation because we need to keep a real close eye on what's developing down there. That's going to I mean, we're to that time of the year where it's going to start to influence our day-to-day price movement, isn't it?
Yep,
no doubt about it. Matt, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You bet. That is Matt Wiegand. He is with Futures One out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to take a look at a few things. Let's talk about the quarterly grain stocks report that is coming and exactly what it is. Let's talk a little bit more about South America, take a look at the weather forecast for here. And gosh, I'll see what else I drum up over the break here. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in just a moment.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe.
Harvesting soybeans at 13% moisture content is a challenge. If you deliver soybeans above 13%, you're going to get docked and possibly pay some drying costs. If you deliver soybeans less than 13%, you're losing out on the opportunity to sell soybeans with a certain quantity of water. In a University of Nebraska study, 86% of the loads of soybeans coming into an elevator were less than 13%. And the data also shows that 45% of those soybean loads have moistures less than 11%. So using their numbers, they calculated on average there's a $12 per acre reduction in revenues for delivering soybeans at 11% instead of 13%. Moisture content can vary widely throughout the harvest window, and they also can vary widely throughout the day. John Deere S-Series combines equipped with the flex head drapers can harvest 13% moisture soybeans, even in tough conditions like soybean plants with the green stems, or when leaves are still hanging on those plants. Beef combines are equipped with technology like Combine Advisor. So when harvesting 13% moisture soybeans, either early in the morning or late at night, combine settings adjust automatically to handle these varying conditions. This technology makes every operator perform like your best operator. Log into John Deere Operations Center and compare your previous year's yield moisture data to 13%. And stop by your local John Deere dealer and check out Harvest Solutions to help you farm even better during a challenging harvest season. For John Deere Lead TV, this is Brad Van de Woestijn.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Good conversation there with Matt Wiegand from Futures One out in Lincoln, Nebraska. The storms that I talked with John Harith about at the start of the show, he's dealing with out in the Eastern Belt, dealing with some very organized systems, large, aggressive storms that are making their way across northern Indiana, southern Michigan.
Let me open up the microphone so you can hear some of it.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear that thunder?
I can hear the rain.
Yeah.
Wow. That is impressive.
It's intense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that trails all the way back into west central Illinois. There wasn't anything too organized in my area. Well, it's getting organized, unfortunately, is what it looks like to me. I got a feeling that you'll be able to, by the time we're done with this conversation, you might be able to hear a little thunder from my way. Too.
We'll just turn on both mics and have a nice stereo going.
Yeah, yeah. South America weather. This is becoming, obviously, a much higher priority for us to follow as we go, as we try to figure out exactly what's going to be happening with the soybean market in particular. The guys from BAMWX, Michael Clark and Kirk Hands, are going to be on with us on Wednesday next week, Wednesday afternoon. They'll do the Monday morning hit. One of the guys will. We'll do the Monday morning hit. We'll get a quick update then, but we'll do the full-blown two segments. Let's find out, A, do we have frost coming our way in the upper Midwest? How much damage might it do? We'll have that conversation. We'll have a conversation about harvest weather. And, of course, we'll take a look at that South American outlook and get the bottom line on the conditions that that growers down in Brazil, Mato Grosso do Sul, in particular, what kind of conditions they are dealing with right now. So it's been a little while since there's been influence from outside of the U.S. on the U.S. markets. And quite frankly, John, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hey, it's going to give us something to focus on other than the impeachment, other than passage of USMCA, other than the China talks.
But is it good that it potentially distracts from the information we see coming in off of combines here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks?
What if it adds to it?
What if?
Yeah. What if it stays dry down in South America and these yields, like, I'm serious. I am so serious in what I said to Matt earlier. I'm so surprised that I haven't gotten any of the quote-unquote better-than-expected comments coming in here yet. I know it will happen because it always happens. But if we don't, and the conditions down in South America continue to stay dry, and like we talked about again with Mike Hoffman from the meteorologist for Ag Day and U.S. Farm Report yesterday, that's the kind of a pattern that just kind of feeds on itself. A dry pattern stays dry because it's harder to get the moisture in the atmosphere and generate those rains. So, yeah, it is something that obviously we want to pay very close attention to going forward. Quarterly grain stocks report. I got the estimates up here someplace. Here we go. This is the average trade guess, and I want to make sure that I know who. Let's see. We are looking at. Okay, corn, September 1, quarterly grain stocks report. This is ending stocks for corn, by the way. 2.428 billion bushels is the average trade guess. The range is 2.298, so 2.3 up to 2.5 billion bushels. So fairly wide range on that. When we look at soybeans, the average trade guess is 982 million bushels. The range is 940 up to 1.035 billion bushels. And again, that will be the ending stocks number for soybeans when we get it on Monday from USDA. So obviously important numbers. And like Matt said, if you're going to see movement on these grain stocks numbers away from trade expectations, the September report is not the one to look for it in. They've had plenty of opportunity in the March. The DSWAN, you're not going to see a whole lot of movement there. But the March and the June quarterly grain stocks report is where you see the movement away from trade expectations in most years. I wouldn't expect a whole lot of movement away from it in this report. And then on wheat, as of September 1, 2.318 billion bushels. Got to have the comparison to a year ago on that. 2.39 billion bushels is where we were a year ago. 2.318 billion bushels is the average trade guess going into it. Okay. So 11 o'clock Central Time on Monday morning, we will be looking for that report. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for October 3rd through the 7th. We've got below normal temperatures now expected in the upper Midwest, the Dakotas, most of Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, and over into Michigan. You've still got above normal temperatures expected in the southern areas of the Corn Belt. But of course, we're looking for above normal precipitation across the entire Corn Belt for that October 3rd through the 7th. Jump out to the 8 to 14 day, October 5th through the 11th. Normal, mostly below normal temperatures expected in the Corn Belt, but normal temperatures on the southern edge of the Corn Belt. And if we've still got the above normal precip in there for the entire Corn Belt. Man, John, this just... Again, back to what Mike Hoffman was talking about. This is the kind of pattern that just will repeat on itself.
And we get stuck.
Yeah, and you get stuck. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, you guys listening out there in the Canadian prairies and in the northern plains, western Montana, be safe this weekend. It's the first winter storm of the season that you're going to have to be dealing with. Take all those precautions that you must take to be safe out there. It's going to be a rough one. Is what it sounds like, dang it.
And thanks for all you do to keep the animals cared for and keep us fed.
Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you for listening today. Thanks to Matt Wiegand. Big thanks to you, John Harris, for all the work that you did this week. Monday morning, Iowa Pork Producers and Machinery Pete, right here on AgriTalk.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.